April 2, 2021, it's the Watch for Pete Rose Show. Swat for Pedro show. Happy Friday.
Good Friday. I don't know why they call it that. Guy got killed. But
we started off with Greensleeves, John Coltrane, live, Village Vanguard. Don the Tiger after that. Nueva Danza, Galanesia.
As I destroy another language, people. I'm so sorry. Lo siento.
You can hear it. I'm not totally man alone. Brother Matt's in the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles because we're still in quarantino mode. Although they opened up for viejos, huh? We can get 50 years old now from 65, the vaccination shots. But through those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, I'm very honored to have with me Don the Tiger, Adriana de Afonso. Welcome aboard, Adrian.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's an honor for me.
And also, we got to give thanks to Andrea Berlin, drummer man, beautiful musician. He made the connect, and I'm very, very grateful for that. Let's talk about your music journey.
Okay.
Please, your earliest music memory.
Well, I think when I was at my mom's belly, I was listening to Leonard Cohen continuously. So that I think that pretty soaked into me pretty early. And then she worked at a Mediatek, which was a place where they had books and records and so on. And when I was a little kid, I remember I have a very vivid memory of me listening to vinyls there. I was like just putting them to listen to them because I liked the covers. And I remember when I first listened to John Coltrane there, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember that the day she gave me like some, or I saw some jazz records, a bunch of jazz records. Maybe she had to put some order to that. And then I took like this, the Village Vanguard concert.
Wow.
And I think, there was also Beaches Do from Miles Davis.
Nice.
And I remember listening to all of them, and I didn't like it at all, Beaches Brew, but I loved the Coltrane record. That was a very vivid first memory.
Well, Beaches Brew is kind of going towards fusion. Maybe you didn't like this fusion thing.
Yeah.
Although the bass players, Michael Henderson, I really liked. Adrian, where was this? What town?
That was in Barcelona, in Spain.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
So I was born in La Coruña, in Galicia, in the other side of Spain.
Sure.
But my family moved when I was 11, 12, and yeah, I remember going to school and going always to this Mediatek where my mother used to work and listening to a lot of things. Then also we used to cross the Iberian Peninsula, from Barcelona to Galicia many times by car, you know. And we listened to a lot of tapes that my mother made, with all this music she worked with. And that was a bunch of mixed stuff, from very poppy things from Terence Trent D'Arby or Tears for Fears to, I don't know, Joy Division, Violent Femmes, stuff like that. Yeah.
So she would make her own, mixtapes, cassettes?
Exactly. She did very good ones. And so I think that was all of my first musical memories come from her, basically.
Yeah,
because
great.
There was no musical instruments at my place, no people playing music, you know, except maybe my father's ocarina, this kind of little flute.
Yeah, diatonic kind of flute, yeah.
Exactly.
Adrian, can I ask you about school? Did you do any music in grade school, high school?
No, not at all. I'm just you can say that I didn't learn. I don't know how to read music or anything like this. No.
But you end up on the guitar. How did that happen?
I ended up on the guitar. Yeah, well, that was a present from my father at the age of 13, I guess. But before that, I was already doing experiments with tapes in my little room. I remember like dubbing tapes and using different speeds. And also then I he bought me this guitar and a little cranky amp. And so I made music with feedback and with some headphones also. I used headphones as a sound source, like, also. I remember that. So I did a lot of tape experiments at the time, but I didn't go into guitar playing, like properly playing, till a bit later, like 15 or something like this.
So you're telling me you learned to play the tape recorder before you learned to play the guitar?
Exactly, and I had a guitar, so I could, yeah, it was just, I was more interested in playing it like a sound source.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about those procedures when I was a kid, but it immediately appealed to me, like the amplification and the electricity of all this.
What about like you say, the guitar is a sound source. What about field recordings? Did you get into that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was recording everything, but I didn't go outside of my room. So the field recordings were like in corners of my bed or whatever, and with these headphones, you know, like I was recording through headphones, not through mics.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything was a bit more. Press, I guess, or I don't know, it was fantastic.
Yeah, people, let me tell the listeners, basically a speaker and a microphone are the same things.
Yeah.
They're the same. They got a diaphragm, and that diaphragm, when it vibrates, creates electrical signal. So you can go one way by feeding the diaphragm signal and then it becomes a speaker, or you can have it capture sounds and turn the vibrations into signals. So Adrian was using the headphones for like microphones. You know, there was a older days a trick in the studio with bass amps where they used a speaker for a microphone on the bass, so it'd have a huge diaphragm. I think some of the Beatle record, Paul McCartney did this. So your whole thing was about recording. It wasn't really performances, right?
It was about recording, actually. Yeah, I was playing inside of my room for many years, doing these experiments. I have a bunch of these tapes, and I still use these tapes for creating music, because most of my sounds come from old material I have. So maybe I just bump into one of these tapes and I just sample a little bit.
In a way, you got like a library.
Yeah, I have like a library which keeps on growing, and it's just fed by what happened, you know, by these tapes, by concerts I did, by all the records I didn't finish, that stuff like that. So everything goes back, and it's like a never-ending feedback of my own. Shit.
Yeah, and, like a big loop.
A debris loop. And but then I remember at the age of 17 or something like this, 18 maybe, some friends of mine came to my place and they had a band I really loved. It was called Veracruz. They played in Barcelona, and they were like a trio, like a little bit post-punk, but mixed with more Cramps or Beat Happening, rock and roll, this kind of thing. And I really liked the edginess and so on. And they came to a party at my place, and they asked me about these tapes, and I said, I'm just recording shit, and they asked me to just... play with them or try something. Actually, I began with them, but not playing the guitar, but just shouting at a corner of the stage. So like,
But this is the first band you joined.
Yeah, that was the first band. I was like 17, 18. I don't remember. I was a bit old already. I made a lot of music. I played before that. And then I switched to guitar in that band.
Yeah.
And then I started singing and playing guitar at the same time. And then, yeah, it became my main project. And then after that just came a lot of other different projects, just experimental, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to play here Primer Porteador.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show, Don the Tiger, Premier Porteador, then Arubu Avoa, which is, yeah, Victor, another buddy of Fidel Andreas that I had on a couple weeks ago, Navarra Cotramos, he's living back in Portugal now, Chris Gregory after that, Raven Calls, Tobacco for the Queen, Bomas Prendon, Something Wrong Upstairs, Hands Right, Remember, Torso Corso from the High Five Club with Eugene Chadbourne, Dale Crover with Untrue Crime, and Don the Tiger with Domingos de Palafrugo. Frugel. Fuck. Sorry. So,
exactly.
So when this Don the Tiger name?
Don the Tiger came up, I mean, that in parallel of this band, like when I was playing, I think I was playing at that this band called Bestia Ferida with a drummer friend of mine, Arnau Sala, and then Mark Cunningham from Mars, the No Wave band.
That's right. And he moved to Barcelona. That's right. Betunizer. I've had some guests on the show that have played with him.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, he still lives in Barcelona. Well, now he lives outside of Barcelona because it's cheaper. but we had a band together, and I think a bit before that, I was just playing these songs that didn't fit in none of these bands, you know? And I decided, I mean, it felt natural just taking my page and my things and just, I don't know, let's try this alone, solo. So Don the Tiger is a bit like, in fact, it's like myself. Like it's music which evolves like myself. It grows like myself. So it can take everything. Now, right now, I released a record, and one of them is more about tango mixed with somehow industrial electronic music or field recording, stuff like that. Then the next one is more focused like in a mix of bolero or concrete music or like soundtrack music. So every time it's evolving, you know.
Don the Tiger is not tied to any kind of genre.
No, not at all.
Don the Tiger is Don the Tiger, tell me if I'm correct, but Don the Tiger is more like an alter ego for you.
Yeah, exactly. And what always surprises me that it's evolving as I am. You know, it's like when I'm listening to something, then it comes inside of the music naturally, and it's not just that appropriation or anything like this. It's just that it grows like that. So,
like a reflection of what's going on in your life.
Yeah, exactly. And then also the music becomes more focused or unfocused depending on how I'm living and where I'm living, with whom I'm living, you know. So, yeah, it's just this. But it's a really open-minded space where I just do whatever I want, and I try to create music that I miss in the outside world, you know, that I want to listen to, but doesn't exist. So, yeah.
You have to make it be so. Can you remember the first Don the Tiger performance?
Not at all, but I remember one of the first ones, and I was playing a bass. I never played bass before, but one of the guys playing after me had a kind of a destroyed bass, and I said, can I use it for the performance? And I just put it on a table, and I made sounds, I mean, like I made when I was a kid with my guitar. Basically, I just used it as a sound source. And I remember just talking a lot, not talking, but using the voice a lot and using the bass also like a monolithic rhythm machine. It was pretty fun.
So the bass, let me get this right. The bass is sitting on a table.
And it's sitting on a
table. And it's plugged into an amplifier. And what, you're just letting the strings vibrate?
Yeah, yeah. I was playing very loud at that era. And that concert was not an exception. And it was vibrating all over. So I was just stopping it and putting some chunks of stuff on top of it, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
So, but that it wasn't the first gig, but it was one of the first gigs. Okay. So what I'm guessing is the average Don the Tiger gig is not like the last one.
Now it's different. Now, I mean, that in the beginning I was just going full improvisation, like it was different every day. Right now, for the last album, at least, I was playing with a drummer called Andy Stetcher, also a very good friend of Andrea Belsi.
Sure.
And we were doing more or less the same set of songs, but it was, I mean, we're all always playing with the space, and we're trying to, you know, to scatter or elements like the drum kit, the keyboards, the tape machines. We have a lot of stuff on top, like a synthesizer, like contact mic, and everything. We just scatter it around. Like if it's a big place, then we can just throw it like 2 meters away. And we like to play with, I like to play with obstacles between myself and the instrument I play. I don't want to have it easy or comfortable, like in a comfortable position. So I just do the same every night. You know? I like having this kind of impredictability, you know, like that.
You put obstacles in between the instruments you're trying to play?
Yeah. I like having this kind of not so comfortable position.
Sure,
so
I
can,
understand.
You know, play in different ways, and you know, it's always accidents that happen, and I really like embracing accidents.
Right. You want to be in the moment, and if maybe if things are always the same and predictable, you end up sleepwalking, cruise control.
Exactly. The thing is that some of the beat of the music we are playing has like some background music recorded. So just to avoid this kind of always the same feeling, you know, like we like to break it this way. You
know? Yeah, what do we say here? Mix it up or break it up.
Break it up.
Yeah. We're at the end of the first hour, April 2nd, 2021. Dish and Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Adrian D'Alfonso. Hold tight for our two. April 2nd, 2021. That's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show. Thank you.
Thank you. shall I be? Willow tree, willow tree. Tell me, when shall I be free?
Girasol.
For Pedro Show, start off the second hour, Don the Tiger, Rizongo en el Guadual. So sorry. Fucking tonto. Ben Salter after that, Get in the Pool, M is for Measles from Lucas Abella, Owen P. Jones, Dazzle Days, Steve Abercrombie, Working Title, that's a name. Morty from Poland with Willow Tree number one. And finally, Girasol, Don the Tiger. So,
by the way, Lucas Abella, I toured with him once during his Justice Yeltsin tour.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I just saw that you had him on the program 3 days ago.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Since November, I've been doing 5 shows a week. So I've had a chance to have a lot of people on. And what it is, Adrian, is like, well, one guy will tell me about another guy who knows another guy who knows another guy. You know, it's all about people, right? Connecting. Yeah. And I think that's very important. It's organic. It's not jive. You know, it's real.
Yeah.
Especially situations like nowadays. Music's a lifeline, real important, real strong of the connection. So, how long do you stay in Berlin? Because you're in Berlin now, right?
Yeah, right now I mean, since 10 years I'm living in Berlin. I was playing Barcelona from 13 to 30 or something like this. Very different environment.
Well, what made you decide to leave Barcelona and go to Berlin?
Oof, Barcelona was kind of a shithole for me, like at the end of my time there. Like it was
a shithole.
I felt like
kind of a strong word, right?
Yeah, the scene was a,
are you talking big, about the musical scene?
Oppressive. Yeah, the scene was a bit oppressive for me somehow. I don't know why, but I feel like bands there, they are original, they have a lot of ideas, but somehow they don't want to keep on working on this, and you know, like they like keeping themselves amateur, but which is something that I also like. But somehow I felt like trapped into I don't know, into conservative kind of thinking somehow, And it's not that they don't produce, that there's not good bands. There's a lot of good bands, a lot of ideas, a lot of tradition. But somehow I feel like this kind of, you know, the people who want to just look outside too much maybe are not well received somehow. And it was very difficult to organize concerts at the time I left. It was kind of still is, I think. I don't know.
Can I ask you if you know these Chile guys had a band in Barcelona called Familia Miranda?
Familia Miranda, yes, I know the name, but I don't know the band right now.
Yeah, I got to be friends with these guys and play some gigs with them. But they're originally from Chile and they came over.
Ah,
immigrant.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So when you went to Berlin, much different music scene, right?
Yeah, totally. Like here in Berlin, everything is more like. Of course, gray, which I don't like.
The weather, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And a little less lively somehow, but there's like more focus on experimental improvisation and things which could be a bit more harsh for the southern listener. Which for me, it was also an education to come here to Berlin and see all these really avant-garde concerts and so on. But at the same time, I started missing the South.
Oh, wow.
Again, you know, you cannot, it has cons and pros. And,
right. Things are not so simple. They're not so simple. Pros and cons, right? Nuance. Thing, Here, I want to play Quebranta Huesos.
Thank you.
Thank you.
never ending winter. Can't remember the Rosenbergs. And did April really have to be so cruel? Look at us, baby. We're just faithless under eyes. Do you think that it's from inside? Look at us, baby. We're just faithless under eyes. Do you think that it's from inside? Everlasting summer, did you kill the Rosenbergs? And did April really have to be so cruel?
For Pedro Show. That was Don the Tiger with Quebranta Huesos. Quebranta Huesos. Yeah, difficult. A little bit, but it's beautiful. Love it. And then I found some bands that recorded with my buddy Milo, who's part of that Familia Miranda, and he's got a mastering studio in a studio. And he's recorded some stuff. This band Nielsen and a tune called With Stanley. And then Mechanica Classica with Teslas. And then this is from Sevilla. Tiento Madeira. And stand-up player Marco Serrato, bass man.
Yeah.
And Raul Cantizano. And they just made a improvised. And, you know, Dean Boone was huge, a fan of flamenco music. And to hear Marco. Marco's trippy, you know. He's from avant-garde stand-up, but he loves, Slayer and stuff.
I love what he does.
You know him. Incredible cat.
I started getting in contact with him through Facebook, and then I really like his stuff. Yeah.
Wow, you know, that might be an interesting collaboration.
Yeah, I mean, actually, my next record, it's mainly me singing and a double bass playing, but I already recorded with another bass player.
Okay. So. Yeah, but there's always time for more records. No problem. Down the road. From Cleveland, we had Death of Samantha, Rosenberg Summer, then 151 Owl Caricatures from John Wayne, and finally, Don the Tiger, La Salada. So, So what goes in your mind when it's time to do a record? What are you thinking about? Well, what would Don the Tiger be like today?
I just don't think about anything. I have like some kind of sound vision or something. Yeah. I don't know if it makes sense. Sound vision. And I like to make music which sounds like that sound vision. And then I start, working a lot, mainly listening to stuff and thinking like what I would not do probably. And then I also take a look at images, like painting, stuff like that. I read a lot, and then everything comes slowly, and I start recording like improvisation, like with anything I have at hand. Like if it's a guitar, if it's a MIDI instrument, with a MIDI instrument. I use a lot of MIDI. And because I have a big old library of sounds, then I can just go to all these very difficult to control sounds. I just play randomly and they give me ideas. So I think these processes give me ideas. It's not that I have a very big imagination or a clear idea of how I should sound, but everything that comes in front of me just informs me.
Yeah, what I gather is like, it doesn't have to be musical. It can be visual. It can be something you read, some literature.
Yes, for sure. A lot. Yeah.
I use the same thing. Sometimes I'm afraid to be inspired by other musics because I'm afraid of copying. But if you copy or are inspired by a painting or a book, a little more difficult to copy.
Yeah, but for example, for me, I think it's impossible not to copy somehow.
I agree.
I always think that I trust that my fingerprints will mess the whole thing. You know, like, even if I try to do a Butthole Surfer song, then I would mess it up and I wouldn't know how to do it. So I trust my ineptness,
to get your fingerprints all over. That's a great concept. I love it. Love it. We're at the end of the second hour. April 2nd, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show special guest, Adrian D'Alfonso. Hold tight, Don the Tiger. Hold tight for hour three. April 2nd, 2021, it's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
Tus dientes, aprieta mi mano. Y siguen aquí. Sí, sigues aquí. Están de mi lado. Si te vas tras tus labios, te vestiré toda de raso con la amarga miel que me ha dado la luna. Tus dientes gastan labios huelen a agua y mis dientes dicen tu nombre.
For Pedro show, we start off the third hour. Don the Tiger, Labios, Tragic Comedy after that with part four of After Hours Jam, Necronauts with Pissing on the Sun, Tommy Dahill out of Alaska with Counterculture, Sentience, Tesseract, Concave, and finally Don the Tiger with Tierdo Asatiardo, Teodor Asatiardo. Sorry, fuck.
Destroying people's language.
I'm curious. You say that your next album, Double Bass. What made you think of, man, I'm gonna sing with a stand up bass?
Just nothing. I always loved the sound of big sound of the double bass.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I composed all these lines for double bass, like based on loops of sampling things I was gathering. And I made all these bass lines, and I'm not a bass player, but I play guitar, but my bass playing is very strange.
That's okay.
I guess maybe you know about this, you know, being a guitar player and just switching to bass.
Jimi Hendrix played some bass and he did pretty good.
Yeah.
Noel Redden didn't play all the bass on that stuff. Some of that's Jimmy. So, yeah, they're not total enemies.
Yeah, but the thing is that I have an idea of the double bass.
Sure.
It's like mythological or something like this. You know, I relate it to some kind of sailor sound, like marine entity, like has something more to do with a boat or with a, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Was it all pizzicato or did you have him do arco?
No. So the lines I was composing them, all of them pizzicato, because sure. I like this sound a lot. And I made this with MIDI, but when I met the double bass player, I'm playing with Mike Makowski, a very fantastic in Berlin. And when I met him, he was playing in different ways. So, and I thought, wow, this is also fantastic. You know, I mean, so it's nice imagination can never reach where, you know, all these other people's influences directions show you, you know, like, oh, I don't know if I explain myself, but if I was myself alone in the room, I would just decide that, oh, just play pizzicato because I love this sound.
Yeah.
But showed me other ways which were amazing too. So.
Well, I brought that up because arco double bass, it can sound, give the, for me, a feeling of being at sea on a boat, on a barque.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about it, you know, like the vibration of the ocean, the big fundamental.
Totally. From anything, from the ska, old ska players, till the jazz players, of course, everything sounds like a boat to me.
You're right about that. Okay, let's play Agase Usted. Cargo, Sir Henry. A little mix.
Oh, llamada patógena. Yo ya no soy aquel al que han llamado rey, revolcándome en el fuego igual que un bárbaro. No morir, no vivir, todos ya necios.
サルカニ合戦。むかしむかし、あるところに、サルとカニがいました。あるひ、サルとカニは、お天気がよいので、連れ立って遊びに出かけました。その途中、山道で、猿は柿の種を拾いました。またしばらく行くと、今度は川のそばでカニはおむすびを拾いました。カニはこんなにいいものを拾ったと言って猿に見せますと、猿も私だってこんないいものを拾ったと言って柿の種を見せました。けれど猿は本当はおむすびが欲しくてたまらないものですから、カニにどうだこの柿の種と取り替えっこをしないかと言いました。でもおむすびの方が大きいじゃないか、とカニは言いました。でも、柿の種をまけば、芽が出て、木になって、おいしい実がなるよ、と猿は言いました。そう言われると、カニも、種が欲しくなって、それもそうだなぁ、と言いながら、とうとう大きなおむすびと小さな柿の種とを取り替えてしまいました。猿はうまくカニをだましておむすびをもらうと見せびらかしながらうまそうにむしゃむしゃ食べて、さようならカニさん、ごちそうさまと言って自分の家へ帰って行きました。カニは柿の種を早速庭に撒きました。そして、早く芽を出せ柿の種。出さぬとハサミでちょん切るぞ、と言いました。すると間もなく、かわいらしい芽がにょきんと出ました。カニはその芽に向かって毎日、早く木になれ柿の芽よ、ならぬとハサミでちょん切るぞ、と言いました。すると柿の芽はずんずん伸びて、大きな木になって、枝が出て、葉が茂って、やがて花が咲きました。カニは今度はその木に向かって、毎日早く実がなれ柿の木よ、ならぬとハサミでちょん切るぞ、と言いました。すると間もなく柿の木にはたくさん実がなって、ずんずん赤くなりました。 それを下からカニは見上げて、うまそうだな、早く一つ食べてみたい、と言って手を伸ばしましたが、背が低くって届きません。今度は木の上に登ろうとしましたが、横ばいですから、いくら登っても登っても落ちてしまいます。とうとうカニも諦めて、それでも毎日悔しそうに下から眺めていました。するとある日、猿が来て、鈴なりになっている柿を見上げて、よだれを垂らしました。そして、こんなに立派な実がなるなら、おむすびと取り替えっこするのではなかったと思いました。それを見てカニは、猿さん、眺めていないで、登って取ってくれないか。お礼に柿を少しあげるよ、と言いました。猿は、しめた、と言わないばかりの顔をして、よしよし、取ってあげるから、待っておいで、と言いながら、スルスル木の上に登って行きました。そして、枝と枝との間に、ゆっくり腰をかけて、まず一つ、うまそうな赤い柿をもいで、わざと、どうだ、おいしい柿だ、と言いながら、むしゃむしゃ食べ始めました。カニは、うらやましそうに、下で眺めていましたが、おいおい、自分ばかり食べてないで、早くここへも放っておくれよ、と言いますと、猿は、よしよし、と言いながら、わざと青い柿をもいで放り投げました。カニが慌てて拾って食べてみますと、それは渋くって口が曲がりそうでした。カニが、これこれ、こんな渋いのはダメだよ。もっと甘いのを送れよ、と言いますと、猿は、よしよし、と言いながら、もっと青いのを思いで放りました。カニが、今度もやっぱり渋くてダメだ。本当に甘いのを送れよ。と言いますと、猿はうるさそうに、よし、それならこれをやる、と言いながら、一番青い、硬いのを思いで、見上げて待っているカニの頭をめがけて、力いっぱい投げつけますと、カニは、ああ、と言ったなり、ひどく甲羅を打たれて、目を回して、死んでしまいました。猿は、ざまあみろ、と言いながら、今度こそ、甘い柿を独り占めにして、お腹の破れるほどたくさん食べて、その上、両手に抱えきれないほど持って、後を見ずに、どんどん逃げていってしまいました。猿が行ってしまった後へ、その時ちょうど、裏の大川へ、友達と遊びに行っていた子ガニが帰ってきました。見ると、柿の木の下に、親ガニが甲羅を砕かれて死んでいます。子ワニはびっくりして、おいおい泣き出しました。泣きながら、一体誰がこんなひどいことをしたのだろう、 と思ってよく見ますと、さっきまであれほど見事になっていた柿がきれいになくなって、青い青い渋柿ばかりが残っていました。これは猿のやつが殺して柿を取っていったのだな、と子ガニは悔しがって、またおいおい泣き出しました。するとそこへ栗がポンと跳ねてきて、カニさん、カニさん、なぜ泣くの？と聞きました。子ガニは、猿が親ガニを殺したから、仇を討ちたいと言いますと、栗は、憎い猿だ、よしよし、おじさんが仇を取ってやるから、お泣きでない、と言いました。それでも子ガニは泣いていますと、今度は蜂がブーンとうなってきて、カニさん、カニさん、なぜ泣くの？と聞きました。子ガニは、猿が親ガニを殺したから仇を討ちたいと言いました。すると蜂も、憎い猿だ、よしよし、おじさんが仇を取ってやるから、お泣きでない、と言いました。それでも子ガニがまだ泣いていますと、今度は昆布がのろのろ滑ってきて、カニさん、カニさん、なぜ泣くの？と聞きました。子ガニは、猿が親ガニを殺したから仇を討ちたいと言いました。すると昆布も、憎い猿だ、よしよし、おじさんが仇を取ってやるからお泣きでないと言いました。それでも子ガニがまだ泣いていますと、今度は臼がコロコロ転がってきて、カニさん、カニさん、なぜ泣くの？と聞きました。子ガニは、猿が親ガニを殺したから、仇を討ちたいと言いました。すると臼も、憎い猿だ、よしよし、おじさんが仇を取ってやるから、お泣きでない、と言いました。子ガニは、これで、すっかり泣きやみました。栗と、蜂と、昆布と、臼は、みんな寄って、仇討ちの相談を始めました。相談がやっとまとまると、臼と昆布と蜂と栗は子ガニを連れて猿の家へ出かけて行きました。猿はたくさん柿を食べてお腹が苦しくなって、腹ごなしに山へでも遊びに行ったと見えて、うちにはいませんでした。ちょうどいい。この間にみんなでうちの中に隠れて待っていよう、と臼が言いますと、みんなは賛成して、一番に栗が、私はここに隠れよう、と言って、炉の灰の中に潜り込みました。私はここだよ、と言いながら、蜂は水亀の影に隠れました。私はここさ、と昆布は敷居の上に長々と寝そべりました。 じゃあ私はここに乗っていよう、と臼は言って、鴨居の上に這い上がりました。夕方になって、猿はくたびれて外から帰ってきました。そして炉端にどっかり座り込んで、ああ、喉が渇いた、と言いながら、いきなりやかんに手をかけますと、灰の中に隠れていた栗がポンと跳ね出して、飛び上がって、猿の鼻面に力任せにぶつかりました。熱い、と猿は叫んで、慌てて鼻面を押さえて、台所へ駆け出しました。そして、やけどを冷やそうと思って、水がめの上に顔を出しますと、影から蜂がブーンと飛び出して、猿の目の上を嫌というほど刺しました。痛い、と猿は叫んで、慌てて表へ逃げ出しました。逃げ出す拍子に、敷居の上に寝ていた昆布でつるりと滑って、うつ伏せに倒れました。その上に臼がどさりと転げ落ちて、うんとこしょうと重しになってしまいました。猿は赤い顔をありったけ赤くして苦しがってうんうんうなりながら手足をバタバタさせていました。その時庭の隅から子ガニがちょろちょろ這い出してきて、親の仇覚えたかと言いながら、ハサミを振り上げて、猿の首をハサミでちょきんと挟みました。
Siéntete tú tan detrás de la
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Agasa Usted Cargo, Sir Henry, from Don the Tiger. Then we had Hugh. Hugh's son out of Japan. She's a... This is called Sarukane Gase. And it's an old story. Folk tale. The Monkey and the Crab. There's something about the voice. I mean, I love the way Andrea uses Adrian. Fuck. I tell Andrea. I love the way you use voice. You know, there's something about the voice is an instrument too, you know? Just as much as a bass, just as much as a guitar, tape recorder. Finally, Don the Tiger with Cantos al Oral Maguante. And I like this idea you got, you know, everything is device to realize the peace. To me, that's really open-minded. We get trapped in like these roles. And how real are these roles? These little assignments that we give stuff to try to express ourselves. I mean, why shouldn't we let the freak flag fly like you do?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being inspired. Where can people find you on the internet?
Sorry, I didn't listen to that.
Where can people find you on the internet? I'm sorry.
Where?
Yeah, like website or something like this.
Don the Tiger. I have a Bandcamp, a SoundCloud, and on Spotify on the thing.
So you hear that, people? The Don the Tiger, one word, .bandcamp.com. You go there, and he's got a lot of music. It's fucking happening. Very beautiful. Do you have a title for this new record yet?
I think so, but it's a secret. I mean, it's...
Okay. If it's a secret, we keep it secret.
Yeah, because I'm not sure about it. It has a lot to do with the land where my girlfriend comes from Almeria. But let's see if that happens.
It was just you and Michael, the bass man on this record?
No, it's me and Mike Makowski, and then my Andy Fletcher, the guy was playing.
Oh, the drummer man.
Yeah, the drummer man is playing also some really nice percussion, like very with all these traditional instruments he made and he gathered around. And also, I have a choir of three persons singing with me.
Ah, like choir.
Like two guys and one girl.
Sure.
And what else do I have? I have a tap dancer, flamenco dancer. Like.
Ah, do you record the you know, there was a band when I was a teenager called Carmen out of Spain. And they had a lady who danced, and they put a microphone on the board she danced on, and that was part of the percussion.
Exactly. I was using a lot of contact mics and also a lot of miking to record her. Actually, she normally tap dances as a flamenco dancer, but I made her play very low because of the neighbor. And that kind of tap dancing is really strange. It's not the one you would imagine, but it's inspired in flamenco, but not. So
okay. Well, you know what I saw some real flamenco in Sevilla, and it's not like that corny stuff. In fact, a lot of it was with the hand clapping too. A lot of rhythm and also, of course, Spanish Moorish, but there's Gypsy too.
Yeah.
Very interesting mixture. I'm sorry.
I'm really starting to get to know more about flamenco because it's not my tradition. It's more from the south of Spain.
Yeah, right.
I found it really, really inspirational. Actually, this new record I'm making, it's heavily inspired on how they create space with all these three elements, like the clapping, yeah, the stomping, and the voice, and sometimes of course instruments, like mainly guitar. But for me, what is important is it's sacred space they create, and also the cheering of the audience.
Sure, absolutely. You know what I got a feeling, it was kind of a Spanish version of the blues.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not US. I'm not talking US blues, but like an indigenous Spanish blues.
Yeah, yeah. It comes from the same place, actually. Pain and hollering, suffering. I don't know, but.
This guy. Yeah, he was singing about his Cordoba town, and he had his palms pointed towards the sky and looking at the up while he was singing with all his heart. It was really emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, it's such a sound world. It's amazing.
I can't wait to hear it. And thanks so much. And I'd like you to come back on the show, man, and talk about it. That'd be great.
Would be a pleasure.
Okay. Big honor to have you aboard. Please keep on keeping on, Adrian. Please.
Okay.
Okay, people, it's been April 2, 2021 edition of What Pedro Show. Keep powder dry.